Christmas time is here. Everybody knows there's not a better time of year. Hear that sleigh, Santa's on his way. Hip hip hooray for Christmas vacation.
Today as we jump into Cousin Eddie, right? We look at different characters as we're having a fun time doing throughout this series, comparing the characters in this beautiful Griswold movie to those that are kind of in Jesus' family tree. And so today, we're not quite on Christmas yet, and so we got to go at least to the next slide and look at this beautiful turkey, because we've got to celebrate Thanksgiving first. But really, since today is kind of Cousin Eddie Day, we've got a whole different picture just for you for him, right? Right? And so we are looking to enter a RV into the Christmas, like December 6th Lafayette Christmas Parade, and we got the submission in this week. And so we hope to hear back, but we are going to need some people to don their Cousin Eddie hats, to break out their Cousin Eddie robes, and to walk up and down the good old streets of Lafayette and toss out some Tootsie Rolls to make sure that people get the idea of Jesus and the Griswolds here at Innovation Church. And so if you're interested, that same QR code that brings up that text message, just text the word Griswold, and that will get you on the list, both for being in the December 6th evening parade here in Lafayette, but also if you're interested in decorating, because as soon as Thanksgiving's over that next week, we are going to town, hopefully both inside the building and, if we get enough Christmas lights, outside the building as well. And so if you're interested in any of that, make sure and text the word Griswold, as the stage is going to transform into a beautiful living room of the Griswolds, and the outside hopefully can mimic a little bit of his house. And so we're going to have a fun time doing that. Make sure and text the word Griswold to sign up for that. But today, everybody say today. Today, as we begin to talk about Cousin Eddie, right? We've all have a Cousin Eddie in our family, right? We have one that is financially a lot like Cousin Eddie. And maybe if you're like, well, I can't think of anybody, then maybe you are the Cousin Eddie in your family. Like the one relative, right? We have them. They mean well, right? But they probably aren't in the avenue of somebody that we should be gaining financial advice from, right? They've got the big heart, but they've got even bigger bills. And so, as last week we looked at the call of Abraham, right? And the plan that Clark had, that if he just makes this perfect Christmas for everybody, then everything's going to be all right. Well, for Clark, Cousin Eddie showed up right there at the last minute. He shows up out of nowhere, right? Out in his beat-up RV with no job, with no plan, with no clue. But he somehow has this confidence that if he just gets to the right place, that Clark's going to make it all okay, that Clark is going to take care of everything. And we see that as he pulls out this well-meticulated list of everything out in alphabetical order of how he can be rescued by Clark. He had this plan already in mind, but at least he was nice enough to make sure and put something on the list there for Clark that Clark could buy for himself, right? Like, he doesn't have a budget, but man, he's got faith. He does have faith. It's just not in the right person. And we laugh at Cousin Eddie's ridiculousness, but deep down inside, I would say it's not just that person in the family. We probably all have a little bit of Cousin Eddie inside of us. And sometimes it gets to the point where we just think, God, I know you're going to take care of me, right? Right? We sing those songs, and we get into moments where we're not doing anything to live wisely with what he's already given us. So today may not be about all the good feelings, because we can believe for a blessing, but we don't walk in this thing called stewardship. was actually working on a series for next year. It didn't make the cut, but it was called A Boy Named Stu. And it was all a four-week series about stewardship, but we knew nobody would show up by the fourth week, right? See, money's funny, right? I mean, your butt began to pucker as soon as you realized what we were talking about today, right? It's one of those topics that hits everyone across the board. Hits us all a little bit differently. Some of us get anxious the second we hear the word. Some of us feel guilt as soon as we hear the pastor talk about that. Or we get defensive. We get a little squirmish. We get uncomfortable. Your chair is squeaking even more than mine. But it's something that we need to talk about. Because it's way more than a financial issue. I believe it's an actual faith issue, and that's not just my words, that's actually Jesus' words out of Matthew 6:21. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. If we were to translate that into language that maybe we can relate to, if you want to know where your trust is, follow those transactions. If we want to know where our identity is, where our comfort is, where our passions are, see, money reveals what you really believe about God, not what you say you believe, what we actually believe. So today, as we look at Cousin Eddie, we're also going to look at King Solomon, known as the wisest man ever. At least before he started adding a bunch of wives. But Solomon, he had the money. He had the gold, he had the palaces, he had the servants, he had the success that many of us chase after. But he also understood something deeper. That having more doesn't really make you secure. Actually, we see his words in the book of Proverbs. I was talking with a gentleman even this morning that one of my Bible teachers taught me that there's 31 days in a month and there's 31 Proverbs in a month. Read a chapter of Proverbs every day and you're going to be the wisest person in the room. But as we look at one of Solomon's Proverbs, in Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, he says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. I like how many times that scripture can give us simple, like, not just theories, but simple promises and principles, right? Honor him first, then. Like, it's like an A plus B equals C. And that's exactly what we see in this scripture, that we honor the Lord with our wealth, with the first fruits of all our crops, then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. See, he doesn't say honor the Lord with whatever's left, right? Whatever's left after Amazon, whatever's left after Target, whatever's left after Instacart or DoorDash. He says honor the Lord with our first fruits. That means the first parts. Why? Because God doesn't want our leftovers, right? I think somebody cleaned out the fridge this morning. I was actually saving up some leftovers in one of the innovation fridges from the last pizza with the pastors, from the last Chinese food that was here. And I was it was going to have an aroma to fill this room, let me tell you. Because that's what leftovers do, right? We take them home in our little boxes and we're all excited about them. And we're like, there's going to be that day that we're going to eat them. And then we shove them in our fridge. And then we shove the next one and the next one and the next one. And it gets hidden by the pitcher of Kool-Aid or whatever it may be. And then 1 month, 2 months, 3 months later, we move that pitcher and we're like, oh, and we open it up and we see what's in there and it's growing new organisms. Like, we have created life in our fridge. And then we decide to feed it to our chickens, right? Oh, that's just me, right? How many of you guys, right, there's How many of you guys actually eat your leftovers? Anybody? Anybody? Okay, all right. How many of you, it's that story over and over and over, right? Right? The leftovers just get shoved in the fridge and it stacks up and you never get around to it. How many of you? Anybody? Anybody honest in church? Okay, all right. There we go. How many of you, you just throw it away because you know you're not going to eat it again because it is leftovers? Okay, all right. Or go straight to the chickens, right? We usually have a pile, right? There's the things that the kids didn't touch, and so that goes right to the chickens because we know that they're not going to eat it, and so sometimes the salads and the vegetables and things like that that aren't going to be good reheated. Like, if we don't want our leftovers, then why would we think God does? What if God doesn't want our leftovers? What if he wants our trust that we sing about? What does that actually look like? In that scripture, it says first fruits, right? That giving first. That's the first check or the first digital payment that's sent even before the mortgage. That's what a first fruits looks like. Not if I have enough left over, but trusting him first. And that's why I believe that Solomon's connecting honor here with overflow, because when we put God first, we invite him into all the areas of our finances. As we look at Cousin Eddie wasn't evil, right? He was a fun guy. He was the type of guy that you see in the South and you say, bless your heart, right? As we listen to Cousin Eddie's story, though, he was just unwise. He just didn't know. Maybe he wasn't taught. He didn't have a plan. He didn't have preparation. He didn't have stewardship. And he shows up hoping that someone will fix it. Clark would fix the mess. But how many of us do that with God? We spend first, we stress second, and then we ask God to bail us out month after month after month, right? There's more month left than there is money. And what if the answer to our financial woes here this morning is God saying, I love you, but I can't bless what you won't trust me with? That's not a message that we want to hear. Right? So we'll pucker up, we'll cross our arms and say, all right, God, I'm just going to grin and bear it. I can't get up because everybody's going to know that he's talking about me. And so I'm going to start scrolling on my phone. See, Cousin Eddie's faith was really just an assumption. He assumed that somebody else would take care of it. Right? He had that list ready, right in the pocket as soon as those words came out of his cousin's mouth. But real faith doesn't assume. Real faith acts. There's an action to this. And not only is there an action to this, but there's a promise. I was taught this promise at a young age in Malachi 3:10. Right? We see Solomon's words, honor the Lord with your wealth and your barns will be filled to overflowing. But this promise, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. See, that's a promise of God saying, if you first trust me, then I'll take care of the rest, right? I don't know if you believe it or not, but I believe that God can do more with 90% that's blessed than 100% that's stressed. Worrying about how and why and where and who. And I'm not here to talk about fundraising. We have no fundraising campaign. I'm here to talk about freedom. Because this is a freedom that I've lived out, that I've seen lived out, and that I get to witness in life after life after life. But I also witness the other side. I witness the Cousin Eddies week after week after week. just hoping that God will bail them out yet again, and praying that God. And could he simply be saying, if you trust me first, I'll take care of the rest? Yes, we see scripture that says a man who doesn't work doesn't eat, so we need to pay attention to those. And to be faithful stewards with what God has given us. And to go to work as if we're working unto the Lord. Not, I hate this stupid place and all these stupid people and all these people around me. But to walk in and say, God, what do I get to do for you today? How can I manufacture this part? How can I deliver these groceries? How can I represent you well in all that I say and do today? How can I see this goal or this quota and do it to the best of my abilities? Not for this, the working man, but work as if I'm working unto God. Whether it's a picture that I'm taking, a moment that I'm capturing, or a patient that I'm serving. See, what does it look like to walk in that freedom? When we understand that it's all God's anyways, and that we're simply taking a tithe, simply means 10%. And for Luna, when she gets a dollar and it's 10 cents, it's not that much, right? When she gets $10 and she returns $1 back to God, it's one of her favorite things to do. When she makes money doing things, she thinks first of the people that she can be a blessing to. It's one of the things I love about her. To be able to say, God, it's all yours anyway. I believe that's when peace starts to replace the pressure. Because going back to Jesus' words, he said, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. This is the bigger view of this picture in Matthew 6, 19 and 21. Don't store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. In other words, this is a scripture that we should all have in our mind as we even plan for Christmas. As we operate with an actual budget, as we get a catalog and the links and the Black Friday sales, right? What if this holiday season we're investing in things that last? Because stuff fades. Savings, it fluctuates. 401ks, holy crap. Souls. Are eternal. Generosity is eternal. Trust in God is eternal. And what we do with our money today can echo forever. Paul echoes the same truth in 1 Timothy 6, 17 and 19 through 19. He says, command those who are rich in the present world. And many of you guys are saying, that's not me, right? If you have a house for your car, if you have a car, if you didn't walk here today in the snow, sleet, rain, whatever that stuff was, that you're in like the top 3% wage earners in the entire world. See, if we look past our perspective, if we went to the closet and didn't have anything to wear this morning, if there was a closet, compared to most of the world, if we have a roof and a car and even a coffee budget, you're doing way more than okay. Paul says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, but to put their hope in God. To be rich in good deeds, to be generous, and to be willing to share. See, that's one pastor telling another pastor, make sure you preach on this. This is one of my least favorite things to preach on, least favorite things to talk about. Because you guys think I'm talking about dollar signs. And I'm not. I'm trying to talk about dependence and who we depend on. Do we depend on our paycheck or do we depend on our provider? So what does this look like today? Well, today, it means stewardship isn't really about what's in our wallets. It's what's in our hearts. It's not about the size of our income. It's about the posture of our trust. If God asked to look at our budget, what story would it tell? Because many of us would say, what budget? Most don't even know how to do that. But today, I want to let you guys know, we've got a new round of Connect groups that are getting ready to launch and getting ready to start, and I'm excited. There's always one that pops in from time to time, at least once a year. And I know we have our New Year's resolutions, and maybe that's when you're going to like get on a budget and start doing things the right way. We have a teacher. He actually taught at The Crossing. He works at Caterpillar, and he's a wise financial steward. His name is Mike Myers, yes, and so he's going to teach you how to slash those dollars, right? I'm just saying. Some of you get that. Some of you don't. It's okay. It's probably better that you don't. But Mike and Michelle Myers, at the beginning of 2026, January 2026, they're actually launching a little bit earlier in January, the Connect groups are this year, is going to be leading a Connect group on this very topic. You can pre-sign up by just texting, right, that whole QR code. And he's looking at, there may be times that he has to do some back-to-back or something like that, or there may be others that could teach a Connect group on this as well. But if you're tired of having more month than money, right, that emergency fund is spent on pizza every week, right? You have no clue what the word surplus is, but you really like the new flavors of Slurpees. Did you catch that? I thought that was a lot funnier when I wrote it down. But if you scan that QR code and just text the word steward, you're not going to get a text back. S-T-E-W-A-R-D. You're wanting to learn how to become a better steward of your finances. Learn how to honor God with your finances. Learn how to have a plan, right? Learn what to do because it was never taught. We have a teacher that wants to help you grow in this area. Because if God looked at our bank ledger, what would it say? Would it say, God, I trust you first? Or would it say, God, if there's anything left over, then I'll give you a tip. So what if we took a real honest look this week? What if, in the app, there's actually some questions to start asking, not only yourself, but maybe those that are around you. In the sermon notes, where am I trusting God? Where am I still trying to control everything myself? In the next couple weeks, we'll talk about a Christmas offering. Both, we're going to partner with Foursquare Disaster Relief, because I don't know if you've noticed, there's disasters that take place in this world, and we want to be able to give towards those. We also are continuing our partnership with Murdoch Elementary and being a blessing to them one last time before we move on to a new partner in 2026. So maybe it's deciding to be a part of that, our Christmas offering this year. Maybe it's deciding to tithe for the first time. We actually put a promise on that if you tithe, a true tithe, the true tenth, we're not like checking statements or anything like that. But if you promise to do that, we do a whole like 90-day money-back guarantee. If you for 90 days honor God and don't see his blessing upon your life and possibly even your finances, that we'll return it all back, because we believe the scriptures to be true. And it's one of the only ones that says, test me in this and see if I will not pour out a blessing upon you. Maybe it's time to create a budget that actually honors God first. Maybe it's deciding to live with contentment instead of comparison and keeping up with the Joneses. Whatever that step may be, is it time to take that step? Because what I've learned is that God can't bless what we don't trust him with. It's time. This matters because money is one of the clearest mirrors of our faith. And if we trust God with our eternity, but not our economy, then something's off. When we honor God with our resources, we declare that God's our source, not our salary. And that kind of faith, I believe, changes everything. That peace replaces pressure, that contentment replaces comparison, and that faith replaces fear. Today we see a cousin Eddie that had faith in Clark. He believed somebody would fix all his problems. But the truth is that only God can turn financial chaos into spiritual confidence when we trust in Him. Not just with our soul, but also with our stuff. When we realize that He's not after our money, but He's after our heart. And our heart always follows where our treasure is. See, when faith meets finances, you'll discover that God was never trying to take from you, that He's been trying to get a blessing to you all along. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank You for each and every gift that You've placed in our hands. We confess, God, that we've trusted money more than we've trusted You at times. And God, today we choose to honor You first with our hearts, with our finances. God, I ask that You would teach each and every one of us to live open-handed, to give with joy, and to trust that You are our provider. God, all the money management resources, all the steps of faith, everything we've talked about, God, it points to something bigger than just our finances, though. It points that You don't want our money, that You want our hearts, that You want our trust, not just with our bank accounts, but also with our lives. There's those of you that are here today, and you've never given fully. And I'm not talking about money, but you've never given your heart. You've never said, Jesus, You are my provider. You are my Savior. You are my everything. And so just like we talked about trusting God with our first fruits, maybe you're here today, maybe you're online today. Wherever you may be, that God is inviting you to trust Him with your life. To stop trying to figure out on your own. To stop trying to carry what was never yours. Maybe you're here right now. And God's just inviting you to take a step towards Him. Maybe it's time to say yes to Jesus today. Maybe the money thing, that's something that will come. But maybe that first step that you need to take is starting that relationship with Him. Asking Him to be your Lord and Savior. Putting your trust in Him. Maybe that's the first step of trust that you need to take. If that's you, we'd love to have a moment at the end of almost every service. And I would love for you to pray this prayer with me. Not just to say the words, but to mean them in your heart. Because you know that God is listening and that He's faithful. So today, maybe that's the first step of faith that you need to take today. A step maybe that you've known who Jesus is. You've known the stories. Maybe you've been in church all your life, but you've never actually trusted Him. You've never surrendered your life to Him. You've never made Him your Lord and Savior. So if that's you, would you pray this prayer after me in church? Would you pray this prayer along with them? It's just a symbol that we do this faith journey together. That it's not a prayer that they have to pray alone in a big room, because they're not alone in a big room. They're gathered together with the church, with the body of Christ that walks this faith journey together. Would you pray this after me? Dear Jesus, I know I've tried to live life on my own. I've put other things first instead of You. Today I choose to trust You. I ask You to forgive me of my sins and to come into my life. I make You my Lord and my provider. Thank You for giving Your life for me, so that I could have eternal life. Today I give You my heart. Today I give you my life. Today I give you my future. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
It's that time. Christmas time is here. Everybody knows.